Some of My Memories by Elizabeth J. Hughes, read by Susie Riddell. I remember. We were standing on the roof of the old mill down by the canal, taking turns for a drag on the joint Jono had brought along, swigging down the cider we had swiped from the offie round the corner. We were just hanging out, because that's what you do when you're 17, feel immortal and have a burning rage deep inside, driving you to rebel against something only you can understand. I don't know who first came up with the idea of walking the beam. It was probably Billy, because that was the kind of idiot thing he was always coming up with. The beam lay across one of the gaping holes in the roof. Below it was nothingness, which stretched out right until the point that the concrete floor filled it. But I am getting ahead of myself. Once someone had suggested walking the beam, well, then it seemed the only thing to do. Billy went first. He wobbled quite a lot, and somewhere about the middle suddenly found God. Of course, we all laughed at him, but eventually he had edged his way to the other side. Once one had made it across, it meant the rest of us had to, no matter how lame we thought it might be. Jono went next, skipping across like a mountain goat, even pausing mid-walk to jump up and down a bit. The jumping caused a creaking sound, which had him skittering across the remaining gap. Then there was just me. Of course, somewhere deep inside was a voice telling me not to. But when do we ever listen to those inside voices? Besides, I was high, drunk, and, well, the others had done it. I stepped onto the beam and shuffled forward. The hole seemed a whole lot wider from this angle. For a brief moment I thought about stepping back. Oh, how I wish I had. I must have been about the middle of the hole when the cracking sound began. Suddenly my mates weren't shouting and whooping anymore. I took another step, but there was no beam to step onto. I was falling. Looking up, I could see the pale, terrified faces of my friends, Billy's mouth a perfect dark O. I seemed to fall for ages. I suppose I was also screaming. I don't remember. I just remember the rushing sound in my ears. I heard my dad's voice saying, "It isn't the fall as will kill you, it's the landing." And you know what? It was. I smashed into that concrete floor. Pain shot through me like a red-hot poker that just kept giving. My broken lungs fought to suck in air as I lay there. Before the blessed darkness came, I looked up. I saw my friends' faces looking down in horror. I heard their trainers squeaking as they ran. Now, I don't know what you were told about death, but I distinctly remember being told that when you die, you go on to something else. In my case, I was expecting to wake up in heaven. I admit I was a bit hazy on the actual details, but I was fairly sure that there would be some angels sat around on clouds strumming their harps. What actually happened was I woke up back into the existence I had passed out in. I opened my eyes. Well, actually, no, I didn't. They were already open. And saw the hole I had crashed through. The first thing I noticed was the pain. If I weren't already dead, I would have been fairly sure I was dying. I lay there and I screamed. Only I didn't. I lay there. Screaming is a thing living people do. I tried to float above myself. That's a thing, right? The out-of-body thing? Yeah, right. Take it from me, mate, it isn't. It was some time after I'd given up screaming and was wondering where my so-called mate had gone that I noticed the fly. It buzzed around my head for a while before coming into land on my goddamn eyeball. It walked all over it, even gave it an experimental lick, its tiny feet trampling all over my sodding eye. Man, I wanted to blink to knock it off, but I had nothing. I was just existing. It left my eye and began to investigate my nostril. I felt it push itself inside, travelling up towards my brain. I didn't realise what it was doing in there. I was too busy screaming in my head at the fact I could feel its nasty little hairy feet stomping around inside. After the first fly, the others soon followed, each one searching for a way in, pushing inside, clambering around on my eyes, in my ears, up my nose, feasting on the blood which had pooled around me. A couple of days later, I felt the first stirring of life within me. tiny maggot mouths rasping off my flesh from the inside, slurping from the soup of decay I was becoming. Thankfully, the ability to feel didn't continue for long after the maggots hatched, although I was left with the memory of how it felt, which was almost worse. The circle of life continued within me. Flies laid their eggs, maggots emerged and fed until they were fat and gelatinous, turning in time to flies who mated and then started the whole thing off again. I am pretty sure other bugs and creepy things joined them at the buffet, but it was the buzzing of the flies, day and night, that filled my head. As time wore on, my body swelled up around me, the gases let out by my decaying organs and feeding inhabitants filling the cavity. Eventually, like an overfilled balloon, my skin split and disgorged the squirming maggot soup I had become, which seeped away through the cracks in the concrete beneath me. I am not sure when the memories started. Time had ceased to have meaning soon after I fell. At first, they ran through my skull like an unstoppable jumbled train, snapshots of a life I had lived. Soon, though, the jumbled train slowed and became ordered, flowing like a movie in the darkness. I saw the person I had been and watched as baby grew to laughing girl and from girl to woman. I saw a child on a golden beach, giggling as rippling waves pulled at her toes. My father picked me up and swung me high into the air. My shrieks and squeals echoed. I remembered the joy, love, and light. I walked between my parents on a golden beach. I saw an older girl on a golden beach, her hood pulled up, sulking, my parents walking ahead, a gap where I could have been, shoulders bent. I saw a young woman sat on a golden beach, a can in one hand, a phone in the other, shoulders hunched against the world. My parents walked alone along the beach as I updated my Facebook status. Wish I was somewhere else. I saw the world as it had been, my family, my friends. I saw the love which had been given and I had grown to reject. I heard the words I had spoken and felt the pain I had caused. I saw my mother's tears and my father's bewilderment. I wondered if they looked for me, imagined them on the nightly news begging me to return. Did they question Billy and Jono or listen to their lies? Did they assume it had been my choice to go? Did they believe I was out there somewhere, living life as I wanted, hoping one day I would walk back in? I wondered. Did they miss me? Or was it a quiet relief? At last I understood. I had turned my back on everything that I had been. I listened to a rage that had no meaning. I chose rage over those who loved me, but the rage had left me cold and alone. Finally, my memories having run their course, I saw that last day. Saw Mum asking me to clear the table and me, like a spoilt brat, storming from the room, grabbing my coat, slamming out of the house. I saw their faces, sad and tired, so very tired. It was a while before I noticed the fog. It curled itself along the walls, sending questing tendrils towards me. My memories have reached the last hours now. Climbing over the railing, scrambling up the rusty staircases, standing in the early autumn sunlight on the roof. Looking out over the city, the yellow and grey trams trundling past, ferrying the slaves of corporations and society. Not for us, that fate. No, we were free. Slaves to nothing, just the rage inside. The fog is flowing over me now, filling the voids. The rooftop lies in the golden light. I take the joint from Jono. Billy stands on the beam. We laugh as he starts to pray. I hold out my hand, wanting to stop the inevitable. Jono is over now. They are both looking at me. I take that step and the fog is covering me. The memories have ended. There is nothing now, just silence.